Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. All praise, all glory, all honor belong to only one, and that is the true and living Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, the King of the universe, the Savior and the Redeemer of the world. Let everything that have breath praise the mighty Yahweh by saying, Hallelujah. It is my pleasure to be on the broadcast, The True Word. My name is Moray Elkanah Ben Israel. I'm the spiritual leader and teacher of the House of Israel of Atlanta. Must I say, we welcome you to this broadcast. For today, my people, we have a power-packed subject, a subject that affects us all, especially of us, of our people that say they want to please the Creator. Some of our people say that they worship G-O-D. They worship the Almighty. They worship the L-O-R-D. But must I say, my people, there is going to be a type of spirit that you must have. And if you don't have it, there's no possible way that you can make it as the remnant, that you will be able to be exonerated in the wilderness. You must have this trait. That's why it's so vitally important that we talk about this characteristic, because it's in harmony with all of those that feared Yahweh and keep his commandments. However, before we go into this great subject, before we even put a name on it, right now we're going to praise the mighty Yahweh. We're going to praise the mighty Yahweh with a song to honor him, because he deserves to be praised. And the song is called, What Befitting to Play My Rock. And we're going to go right into it. Just a minute. Hold tight. Looks like we're having a few minutes of technical difficulty with our song. But nevertheless, we're going to move on. We're going to move on with our subject. And our subject today is willing souls. Willing souls. And how must I say the Most High has said that these are going to be the people that are going to be found to be part of that great remnant. And those are those of the people of Yahweh that have willing souls. I say willing souls. And of course, what's a willing soul? A willing soul is someone that you don't have to beg. You don't have to knock them in the head in order for them to want to do anything. Why? Because they're willing. And the Creator wants us to know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that willing souls are going to be the ones that He's going to bless. And I praise Him for it.
Yahweh Elohim, must live my life within His law. Must live my life in righteousness. I gotta keep all of His testimony. Man, who made the heavens? Who made the earth and the sky? For the Sabbath day, that's when I acknowledge my holy sign. Exodus chapter 31, 12 through 17. I do not need to worry. Yahweh will save me when I'm in distress and in trouble. He told me to walk humble, like Uzziah the prophet. Destroyed for lack of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. He told me to acknowledge Him in all of my ways. We living in these latter days. I gotta put all of my trust in His holy name. I know that Yahweh is King. Yeah, He will redeem us out of this hell. We His people, Israel, scattered from one end of the earth, overtook by His curse. I am married to Yah for the better or worse. Give you earth, give you heavens, for Yahweh is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are just. Yahweh is the Elohim of truth. Without Him, just and right is He. Praise Yah the Most High. Yeah, He is righteous. The foundation of justice. Only if you trust His laws and His statutes. Precepts and His covenants. Yah's sanctuary is full of benevolence. Loving all His ways and not eating to the full. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Can you relate? The law is perfect. Converted my soul, the law is right and it is the only way that I will go. Because the holy of man is to fear Yahweh Elohim and to keep His commandments. One day there will be a famine. Cannot prepare no for the trust to hear the words of Yahweh, but they will not get an answer. Why is truth committed? Huh? Oh Yahweh, Thou art my Elohim. I will exalt Thee, I will praise Thy name, for Thou has done wonderful things. Thy counsels are of old, are faithfulness and truth. For Thou has been a strength to the poor, and a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, and a shadow from the heat. Hallelujah.
Yahweh. And we praise Yahweh for our beloved brother Eliah ben Israel, who the Most High put on his heart to write that great song that, as you can see, I love it to death. And I praise the true and living Elohim for this broadcast, because as I mentioned earlier, today we're going to be speaking of a trait that Yahweh requires of those that wishes to be saved, and it's called willing souls. Because a lot of our people are not privy right now to have a willing soul. Now, what's a willing soul? A willing soul is someone that is truly don't mind volunteering. What is a volunteer? A volunteer is someone who willingly raises their hands to do something. You don't have to put a gun to their head. You don't have to threaten them in any way. But they willingly volunteer to do whatever they desire to do. They're not even begging to get paid for it. But what they're doing is they're volunteering. And my people, let me tell you something. It's rare to find people that have this type of trait inside that don't mind volunteering to do something because they're sincerely feeling the way that they do about it. And they're willing to put their time in, even if it's free, because that's what a free will is. And we gave Yahweh free will offerings. So we have to understand the Almighty, He requires this of us for those that truly serve Him faithfully. They're willing. They have a willing soul. They have a willing spirit. And no one has to beg them to do anything. Yes, so I know. I believe you feel the same way I do. This is a mighty, mighty, mighty important subject to speak of. Now, let's see in the words of our true and living Elohim. Let's see what the scriptures say about willing souls. First of all, let's go to the book of Isaiah, the first chapter. And if you don't have a Bible, I highly encourage you to get you some scriptures. Because my people, today, this subject is so devastating that anyone that claims to know Yahweh, if you don't know that this is something that He's looking for in all His servants, then you really don't know Yahweh. And of course, the Creator said that about us. He said, my people have not known me. He said, they haven't known me. They haven't understood my way. And I commanded them to walk in all my ways. But our people have not really understood what it means to really walk in His ways. Isaiah, the first chapter, this is what the true and living Elohim had to say concerning willing souls. And the best bet, I guess I'll start at verse 10. This is what it says. Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, said Yahweh? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, as our fathers did when they brought their offerings to the Creator, Yahweh asked the question, who has required this at their hand to tread my courts? So in other words, the Creator is asking a pertinent question, who gave you a requirement that you had to give me some offerings? Like the lying Christian ministers of feeding the people. Who told you this? See, we need to get to know the Almighty. Remember, I made a statement. And, of course, it's mentioned in Jeremiah, the 4th chapter, the 22nd verse, where Yahweh said, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. So in other words, the Most High is simply saying, we're wise to do evil. We're wise to let a white man slave master beat into us, and we pass it down to our children, and he tells us that somebody died for our sins, that we might have everlasting life. We're wise to pass this on from generation to generation when, in fact, the same people who taught us this was the same people to this day who discriminate against us, who raped and castrated our fathers and mothers, who tarred and feathered us even unto this day. So in other words, let's be real. We really are sottish children. Now, what is sottish? Sottish means stupid. That's what the Almighty calling us. He said we're just straight stupid. And if Yahweh said we stupid, we stupid. Because Yahweh made us. He made our minds. He made our hearts. And the only thing that would make us intelligent that he ever given us is his laws. So what do we look like promoting the lies of our enemies? And Yahweh told us in this chapter, in Isaiah the first chapter, he asked a pertinent question. Who has required this mess at your hand to tread my course? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn assembly. So in other words, the Most High was even disgusted with our new moons and Sabbaths. Why? He ain't telling you don't keep my new moons. He ain't telling you don't keep my Shabbats. But what the Most High is trying to let us know, when we call ourselves to the assemblies, to the holy convocations, he said, I cannot endure. When it says I cannot away with, it means I cannot endure this. It's iniquity. Even the solemn assemblies, even the holy feasts became evil in the sight of Yahweh. It wasn't that the feasts were wicked. It was the people who came to worship the Creator or called themselves our own mothers and forefathers and our ancestors who came with an evil heart. And be honest, see, some of our people are still doing this to this day. And we say we keeping the Sabbaths and our hearts aren't right. We say we worship Yahweh. And some of us don't even consistently acknowledge the new light and the new moons. Because this is what he's speaking of when he say new moons. But if you were not going to come with the right spirit to worship the Almighty, Yahweh is clearly letting us know, get this stuff out of my face. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yeah. When you make many prayers, I will not hear your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. So in other words, the Almighty is admonishing us to make ourselves clean. Put away the evil of our doings. Because it ain't nothing evil about any of his holy feasts. He commands us to keep his new moons. He commands us to keep his Shabbats. He commands us to acknowledge and to keep his holy feast days. The ones that could be kept in captivity. Because some of our people are just doing what they want to do. Some of our people are just keeping Passover, call themselves keeping the Feast of Weeks. Now, the reason why I say call themselves keeping the Feast of Weeks is because Yahweh, he never even given a date to the Feast of Weeks. For the Feast of Weeks
begins at the determination of the grains that would grow in our land. And what do we look like trying to celebrate the Feast of Weeks in our enemy's land when we don't even know anything about the crops of Jerusalem? Because we're not there. And even if the crops came in Jerusalem, we're still not to keep it. Because Yahweh has a particular place and time and date for this great feast. So you can see why the Almighty is upset. You can see why he said, get this stuff out of my face. My soul hated it. Because we're not coming with the right spirit. We're not coming with the right heart. We're not serving him willingly. He said in the 17th verse, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. So Most High is telling us to take action. Come now and let us reason together, said Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If, here's the key, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yahweh. So in other words, the Most High is telling us that we got to be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Now, some people, believe it or not, my people, they are in Christianity and they don't know why. Some of our people don't even understand that even though they know they're Hebrew Israelites, they still believe that they have to have a sacrifice because the Almighty required sacrifices. When Yahweh is telling us that we got to be willing and obedient. So the Almighty is looking at something completely different than what we have been taught from the slave plantations. And we need to see what he's speaking of when he says these things. And of course, it's going to be quite obvious when I show you something recorded in the book of Leviticus, the first chapter. We're going to go to Leviticus. We're going to go to the law. Let's go to the law of Yahweh in Leviticus chapter 1. Because many of our people are trapped in thinking that it's all about believing in a sacrifice. That's how you get in good with the Almighty. You give sacrifices. That's what he loved. He loved the sacrifice of his son. When he told us and admonished us, when Moses went down to tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go. Israel, the whole nation is his sons and daughters. But we find that even some of our Hebrew Israelite brothers who know that they're Hebrew Israelites, they know we are the children of the Most High, they still believe that Yahweh requires this so-called sacrifice for their sins. But we find in Leviticus, the first chapter, we find something very peculiar. we find that Yahweh is not like most of our people think he is. How do I know this? It's real simple, and it's going to blow your mind. And it starts in the first verse. It says, "And Yahweh called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them." Now, this is Yahweh talking. And, of course, in my Bible, this is in red. Now, I don't know about yours, but in my scriptures, this is in red. It's in bloody red letters because it comes from the mouth of the true and living Elohim. And my goodness, this is what it says. It says, if any man, and the first word is if. Let me make emphasis on that. The first word is if. Now, if is a big word. Even though it's two letters, it means if, which is conditional. If is not he's commanding you to do something. If means if. Suppose, if any man of you bring an offering unto Yahweh, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, because these are the laws of sacrificing. He said, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yahweh. Oh, my goodness. The scriptures say wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But with all you're getting, get the understanding. Because that's what's going to cause you to learn. That's what's going to give you the change of your mind and your heart to understand what is being said here. And what is being said? It looks like the Almighty has never commanded us to give him some offerings. It looks like he voluntarily is admonishing us that if you volunteer, and you have to volunteer, let him give it voluntarily. That means let him give it without force. Let him bring it. This is the commandment. That means if you feel like you just got to give it to him, don't give it to him. But he's saying, let it be of your own voluntary will. Because guess what? That's who Yahweh had by his side. This is the people that Yahweh blessed with wisdom, willing souls. I'm going to give you a for instance. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, the 35th chapter. Now, right here we see that this desecrates Christianity to the core. Yahweh letting us know that he never required any type of sacrifices or burnt offerings. He said if he decides to bring it, let him bring it of his own voluntary will. You know, I think it was a group called, it was a Peace Corps. I think it's called Peace Corps. And most people that join the Peace Corps, they volunteer. That's what they use. They use volunteer. That means you voluntarily, willingly go and help in some way, shape, or form where you can help people all across the world. You can use your talents to help people. You volunteer to help it. It's not like you might receive a salary or anything like that. You're just volunteering to do it. Well, that's what the Most High is saying. When you get ready to come and give me an offering, you make sure that your heart is willing to bring it to me. Because if you really don't want to bring it, or you can't bring it, don't bring it. Because he don't want it. The requirement is, if you're going to bring it, let it be of your own voluntary will. Now, how wonderful is our Elohim to say, bring it willingly. Don't feel like you just got to give me something. Hallelujah. What a loving Elohim. What an Elohim who we won't have no excuse on Judgment Day to say that he forced us to do anything. All he did was let us know that we must keep his commands. And of course, he made us. So why wouldn't he require that we keep his commandments? This is his world. Exodus, the 35th chapter. Let's read what the true and living Elohim records in the scrolls for willing souls. Starting at the 4th verse, it says, "And Moses spoke unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded, saying, take you from among you an offering unto Yahweh, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of Yahweh, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shechem wood and oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that Yahweh has commanded." That means everyone with some skills, let them come. Wise-hearted. The tabernacle, its tents, its covering, its thatches, and its boards, and its bars, and its pillows, and its sockets. The ark and the stays thereof, with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table, the staves, and all its vessels, and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and its furniture, and its lamps with the oil for the light, and the incense altar and its staves, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, and its brazen great, its staves and all its vessels, the laver and its foot, the hangings of the courts, its pillars and the sockets and the hanging for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court and their cords, the clothes of service, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to minister in the priest's office. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought Yahweh's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto Yahweh. So in other words, you see that when the rearing of the tabernacle and the people offered willingly and skillfully to make the things that were holy unto Yahweh, what did he require from these men and women? What did he require? Because he didn't discriminate. Now, these line preachers will tell you that a woman don't need to say nothing. Just let her ask her husband when she get home. Yeah, that's right. Because right here you notice it includes women, sisters. They could come and be part just like the men could, willing souls. And they weren't cut off. And they weren't put down as Paul in the New Testament clearly does. Because guess what? Yahweh would never have allowed a willing soul to go home if they were willing to do the works of the Most High. Did you hear what I said? But now, since I touched this subject, it's very important, since we're speaking of willing souls, it's very important that we understand that truly in the New Testament, women were ostracized in that they couldn't even speak in the churches. Let alone you got these sisters today that are evangelists and pastors and preachers, and they go around preaching. But guess what? Paul said, you ain't got no business even doing that. No matter how much you might be willing to minister the words of the Creator, because Yahweh never discriminated against a woman. We have women leaders in our people, in our nation, that teach the words of Yahweh, that teach the laws and the statutes and the commandments. Because Yahweh doesn't discriminate. Hallelujah. And right here, he's letting us know that he wants willing souls. Furthermore, because we still must see some things in order for us to understand just how important this is to Yahweh, that we understand his way when it comes to willing souls. Now, let me show you a willing soul that you're familiar with. His name is Moses. Now, you can't get no willing than what I'm about to show you now. And, of course, what I want to show you is recorded in the annals of history in the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter. Let's go to Exodus, the 32nd chapter, and see an example of a willing soul. Because there'll never be a prophet like unto Moses anymore, who Yahweh knew face to face. Look what Moses did. In the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter, when our people had made the golden calf, look what Yahweh records in his scriptures concerning his servant, the prophet Moses, in the 30th verse. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto Yahweh. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. So Moses realized that Yahweh was quite upset with us. And Moses said, I'm going to go up to the Almighty, because I already know how he feel about this. Perhaps I can make an atonement for your sins. And Moses returned unto Yahweh and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. So in other words, Moses was pleading willingly. Matter of fact, he went so far to say, Yahweh, I pray thee. Now that go to show you, he didn't have to get on his knees and start praying to the east like we do. Because Moses was talking to Yahweh face to face as a man speaking unto his friends. So he was talking to Yah. He saw
the Almighty face to face. And he said, I pray thee, go ahead and kill me. When they say blot me out of your book which you wrote, kill me if you're going to kill these people. Now, you're talking about a willing brother who loved his people, who was willing to die for his people. It was Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me say this. If there was a man that we should have acknowledged, or a man that was worthy, if Yahweh had a law that says he would die for your sin, then certainly it would have been Moses. It would have been Moses. This thing in the New Testament, when Yahweh let you know, see, Yahweh let Moses know in the 33rd verse, even though he was willing to give his life, Yahweh let him know, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Moses, I am not going to kill you for the sins of these wicked people. How clear can you get? And you think Yahweh changed along the years? Yahweh loves willing souls. He loved Moses. If Moses wasn't sincere, Yahweh would have certainly just took him out because he knew he wasn't sincere anyway. But he had to have been sincere. He had to have really wanted to allow Yahweh to take his life and write him out of the book of life. And you mean to tell me that we have been taught from the slave plantations that someone died for our sin and that he willingly gave his life? Isn't that something? They taught us that he willingly died for the sins of the world. Well, you know what? Now, I've got to, since we're talking about willing souls now, I have to interject, and I have to see. Les, we got to analyze if this is true. We got to analyze if it's true. Did he willingly give his so-called life for our sins? Let's see if he willingly did it. Let's go to the book of Matthew's in the New Testament right quick. Yes, we got to do this. We got to go here. Matthew's, the 26th chapter. And let's read one of the greatest excerpts of punkery, of faggotry, of weakness, of a brazen sissy, of a punk. Matthew's, the 26th chapter, we're going to read what Marcion and the Paiso family came up with that's got our people hoodwinked to the tink. And here it is. Let's see, was Christ as willing to die as Moses was for his people? In Matthew's, the 26th chapter, let's start reading at verse 36. It says, then cometh Christ with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. That means he was very distressed. He was sorrowful. You know, well, maybe let's give him a chance. Let's give him a chance. Maybe he was sorrowful for the people. Maybe he was distressed and heavy feeling and heavy hearted because he knew that he was going to die for the great sins of the whole world. Let alone
Israel, no, the world. And it was distressful that they had did this and sinned against the Creator. So he was sorrowful and distressed. Let's just say and give it to him for a minute. Let's see. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. That's what he told his disciples. Y'all wait, tarry, and wait and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. Uh-oh. So it looks like the Christ of the New Testament, because for a minute I gave it to him. I said, well, maybe he was sorrowful and heavy because of the thing that he knew he was going to have to do, and grieved because of the sins of the world. But it looks like not only was he not grieved for the people, it looked like this Negro only cared about his own life. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Does that sound like a willing soul? And they have the nerve to connect this, I won't say it, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. They have the nerve to connect him to the true suffering servant, the willing servant, who was willing to go through affliction, servitude, discrimination, exploitation, subjugation in a wicked nation, and try to lie on Yah's word and connect him to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and say that's Christ. And we're going to visit that chapter for a minute, because we're going to see, is he got the traits, and we already can see, he got some traits all right. It sounds like the traits of a coward. It don't sound like a willing soul to me. How about you? And I want you to call and tell me, at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, what you think of this opinion on this matter. Because the truth of the matter is, I smell a punk. Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was worried about himself. The very opposite of the willing soul of Moses. Willingly was wanting to die. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? What's wrong with you? You couldn't even stay awake for an hour to watch over me? Yeah, I know they saying I'm the savior of the world. I know they saying I was going to die for the world. But really, y'all can see I'm scared. So you need to watch. Isn't that something? And some of our people pray to this thing, thinking he watching over them. And the sucker begging flesh and blood to watch him. The mindset of someone to believe this. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Look at the excuse. Look what he makes a mockery out of willing soul, true men like Moses, like servants who risked their life, like Moriah Elisha, the man of Elohim, the late great prophet of the Most High, who risked his life and went all around the world to teach teach our people what thus said Yahweh, debated men, and stood strong in the midst of lies and deceits, even unto his last breath. He kept the commandments. He trusted in Yahweh and not the physicians. It says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's a lie. If your spirit is truly willing, you're going to do the right thing. Do you understand, my people? If your spirit is willing, your flesh is going to follow the spirit. Do you understand? Because that's where your spirit is. And he see in the 42nd verse, and he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father. The second time now. If this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were sleepy and heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same prompt word. Do y'all understand? Do y'all understand what you're reading? Those of you all who believe in Yahshua, those of you all who believe in Yahawashiah, call them what you want. This thing wasn't willing to die for the sins of the world. He didn't even want to die for himself, let alone the world. And this is the epitome of what we would teach our children, that you should worship this thing? That you should send your children to church on the first day of the week and worship and think that he is going to save you in the last days? His second coming, y'all. And this is the man that you will want to be your king, who is afraid to die for what he claimed he come on earth, what was right, that he was a sacrifice of the Creator. My people, did you know that Yahweh does not believe in human sacrifice? He don't want no human sacrifices. These were the ways of the Canaanites. These were the ways of the people whom Yahweh gave us their land. That's what they were doing. They were killing and murdering their own children for their sins. Do you understand? And we had a nerve to believe that the Almighty is going to kill his only begotten son, so to speak, for our sins? No, Yahweh done let us know when he told Moses, he said, whosoever have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. I'm not going to kill the righteous for the sins of the wicked. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to kill the wicked for his own sins. That's what Yahweh is trying to let you know. So all of you all that are in the mess of the Messianics, all of you all who believe in the Christ of the New Testament, I'm admonishing you to call me and take up for this thing. You call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number one. We're going to put you on the air to let you defend this. Now, also, we're admonishing, we're encouraging that anyone that wishes to comment on anything that was taught or ask a question about anything that was taught, all you got to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number one. We're going to put your question or your comment on the air. praise the mighty Yahweh, because we're going to open the lines up in about 5 minutes. Now, this is amazing. Let me go to Isaiah 53. This is what they had a nerve to connect this to. They said, this is JC in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. You know, the great chapter that speaks of the suffering servant. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, look what it says, according to the words of our true and living Elohim. Yahweh says, and I'll get right to it, it says in the 10th verse, or excuse me, in the 6th verse, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he tried to make you think that this is talking about Christ. And if you don't have understanding, if you don't really know the words of the true and living Elohim, you just might get hoodwinked and believe this. But my people, this is speaking of the righteous. And he characterizes them as a hymn. Just like he did when he told Moses to tell Pharaoh in Exodus, the 4th chapter, he said, thus said Yahweh, you tell him Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And we find that when we have understanding to know the degree of what he was speaking, that when he said that, he was speaking of the entire nation of Israel, which is made up of sons and daughters. And why would Yahweh go against his own law? Yahweh is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Yahweh said in Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, the 16th verse, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. That's why we occasion this broadcast, because this program is called Willing Souls. See, Yahweh wants voluntary willing souls, because those are going to be the only people that he said he is going to take home. Those are the willing, not the rebellious, not those that don't have courage, but the willing souls that's willing to do what's right. Because believe you me, it ain't going to be but a few. And in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, furthermore, in the 7th verse, this is what the Creator said. He said, when it comes to his servant, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So he don't open his mouth. So in other words, how in the world could anyone relate Christ, Yahshua, JC, call him what you want. How could anyone in their right mind relate JC to this? When in fact, the thing begged like a faggot punk sissy, when the day came and the hour came for him to pass and die on, the thing begged for his own life. Forget about the people's life. I'm begging for my life, he said. Take the cup from me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And as I said, no matter how you feel about it, all you have to do is call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number one. We're going to put your question or your comment
on the air. Hallelujah. In the meantime, praise the mighty Yahweh, we're going to continue to talk about willing souls through this portion, because it's very important, my people, that you see the consistency of the people that Yahweh regarded. For instance, Exodus, the 25th chapter. Now, we went to Exodus, the 35th chapter, but Exodus, the 25th chapter, it gives you even more evidence of how the Creator feels. And it starts in the first verse of Exodus, the 25th chapter. This is what it says. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giving it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says in the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? It says, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. That's how we learn. All through this book, Yahweh never required the sacrifices and burnt offerings. Let's go to Jeremiah. All through the book, all Yahweh wanted was willing souls, willingly, voluntarily. Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. Let's start reading at the 21st verse. Now, if this don't make it crystal clear, I don't know what will. Look what he said. Because this is all Yahweh is requiring of us. Because we do have requirements of Yahweh. We read them every Sabbath. We make sure that we get it in our psyche, in our minds, our spirit and soul, to understand that we have requirements of Yahweh. But guess what? Sacrifices, whether they're animal or human, none of them were required. And Yahweh don't even accept human sacrifices as the heathens do. And we're going to get into that too. Very important that we get into that. In Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, the 21st verse, this is what it says. Thus said Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. So in other words, Yahweh said, look, you eat it. You eat your burnt offerings and your sacrifices. For I spoke not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning some doggone burnt offerings and sacrifices. I did not command them and gave them instructions and how I commanded and require that they give me some burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Elohim. And you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Now understand, he telling you it's not a commandment that you bring him an offering. He's talking about the things that he commanded us. Yahweh wanted willing souls with the right heart. Keep reading. We'll keep reading. The 24th verse, it says, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets,
daily, raising them up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck, that they did worse than their fathers. So the Most High is letting you know right here, burnt offerings and sacrifices is not a requirement of Yahweh. He never required that we do it. All the Most High wants from us is a willing heart and a broken and contrite spirit. If you don't believe me, go to the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalms. And Yahweh gonna really break it down in Psalms 50. That's right, Psalms 50. In Psalms, the 50th chapter, starting at the 5th verse, look what it says. It says, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Elohim is judge himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am Elohim, even thy Elohim. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice. That means I'm not going to rebuke you. I'm not going to curse you out and punish you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings to have been continually before me. He said, I will take no bullock out of your house, nor he goats out of your foes. I'm not going to do that. If you got animals in your house that you're going to eat, I'm not going to sit there and come and get that. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. They belong to me. I made them. I know where every one of them at. If I was hungry, I would not tell you, because you can't do nothing about it. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto Elohim thanksgiving, and pay your vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Hallelujah. This is how we glorify Yahweh. This is how we glorify him. But a lot of us have put him in the characteristic of a man. Now, I'm going to prove my point, because let me tell you why you believe that. You put yourself in a position like a man, and you put, Yahweh, and think he's just like one of us, and he addresses it in this chapter, and I'm going to read it. And you think he's just like one of us. Well, look what Yah said, and it's only because you cast his law and his word away. See, I gave you his law in Deuteronomy 24, verse 16. He said every man dies for his own sin. Now, you can believe the New Testament, the book that Yahweh don't even speak in, if you want to, and continue to go astray. But Yahweh says in the 20th verse, in the 16th verse, but unto the wicked, Elohim said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in your mouth? Seeing thou hatest instructions and cast my words behind thee. What words? When Yahweh told us every man dies for his own sins. Yah said, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and has been partakers with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. And what do he mean? He said, when you saw a thief, you consented with him. And I think a lot of you all have forgotten that the heathen who brought us on slave ships is nothing but a thief. This man has robbed and pillaged many nations. This man in the nation that we're at right now, Babylon, modern Egypt, good old USA America. This man lied on to the Indians, claimed he was going to give them a treaty and make it with him to make peace, and gave them smallpox and the blankets, cut their heads off, played football with them, gave thanks to their deities on Thanksgiving. And our people celebrated wholeheartedly. They celebrate Thanksgiving not even knowing the history of Thanksgiving. And that's why most Indians here, that's why they're upset with the Atlanta Braves, with all of their mockery of their own culture, with an Indian chief head on as a symbol. Do you understand? The Atlanta Hawks. Do y'all understand, my people? What about us? What about us? How could we consent with the religion of a thief who stole your history and stealing your soul by you worshiping his God? Stripped us of everything, our clothes, our dignity. This cuts deep when he said, when you saw a thief, you consented with him. And that's what our people are doing. That means you consented with his God. His God who ain't never saved us. He didn't save us from Katrina, and he didn't save us from slavery itself, because we're still slaves. He said, thou gavest thy mouth to evil and tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. He said, these things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Uh-oh. Yahweh is pleading with us. He said, I know you did these things right in my face, in my eyesight, and I've just been quiet. He said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one of thyself. And that's why our people can easily believe the white man who taught us this religion, that a man came down from heaven, the Son of God, and he died for the sins of the world. And he came down as flesh and blood. And we believe this. We believed it. And then when you read about his characteristics, as the subject of today is willing souls, we find that the thing didn't even want to die. The thing was praying, not like Moses. Moses prayed. He said, look, y'all, I know they made this golden calf. Please forgive that sin. But if you won't, kill me. Blot me, I pray thee, out of your book, which you wrote, the book of life, the book you got, Mosai. So we have the book of the law, but Yahweh retains the book of life, and he can blot you out or keep you in. And look at the opposite. Look at the very opposite. One great man praying to die. Another great lie, praying to live. Oh, my goodness. Open your eyes, my people. Open your eyes. Those of you all, my brothers and sisters, I'm admonishing you all that those of you all believe in Yahshua, Yahweh Shah, call me. Call me right now. You call area code 323-443-7418. Hit the number one. We want to hear from you because we know we have various listeners all over the world right now. And I know you're listening. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid to question the lies of your own enemies. Don't be afraid. Yahweh said in the 21st verse again, he said, these things have you done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one of thyself. You thought I was just like you. You think that I'm just like a man. I'm just like somebody that come down and I'm going to let somebody put some nails in my hands and feet and kill me for your sin. Are we crazy? Yes, because y'all said we were crazy. Y'all said, as a result of these curses, he said one of them was going to cause us to be crazy. Now, I got to show it to you. And it's in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Look at one of the curses after the 15th verse that the Creator said that we would have. And we got it. As a nation of people, we are recipient of this curse. See, Yahweh told us in the 15th verse of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses, from verses 16 to verse 68, shall come upon thee, and overtake thee. And I got to show you this one. One of the curses is mentioned in the 28th verse of the 28th chapter. This is what it says. It says, Yahweh shall smite thee with madness and blindness and an astonishment of heart. Now, let me show you again. He said, Yahweh shall smite thee with madness. Look up the word in a Hebrew concordance to the Bible. Look up the word madness. Let me know what you get. I already know what it means. But you let me know what it get. I guarantee you it's going to say craziness. Craziness. Then you go into the English dictionary and look up craziness. And then you'll understand where our people are. We just been smite with craziness. We have been smite with madness, blindness, and an astonishment of heart. Yah said, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled forevermore, and no man shall save thee. And they didn't. Even though they tell you in the New Testament, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Did Christ redeem us from them slave ships mentioned in the 68th verse? No. Did Christ redeem us from being called a proverb and a byword among all nations? No. That's why we've been called a nigger. That's why we've been called a Negro. That's why we're being called presently African-American. Two continents, Africa and America. That's why. Pickaninny, snowball, spear chucker, porch monkey, you name it, we've been called it. Everything except the child of the Most High. So what is the best thing one could do at this point? So you listen to this program. And you know that you've been a Christian and proclaim that you've been a Christian ever since you've ever known spirituality. You heard this program and you're wondering now, I'm scratching my head. I just ain't never heard nothing like this before. I never even considered this. Well, guess what? Guess what? Yahweh is causing you to consider right now. Because this is madness. This is craziness. For us to believe that somebody died for our sins, that we might have eternal life, and we die like flies. Furthermore, and we only have a few minutes left, as I mentioned, if anyone out there that is a Christian, or just if you'd like to call and make a comment, because I know we got plenty callers right now on the line, and right now we're saying take your time. We understand that many of you all right now just want to hear the word of Yahweh, and we say for that hallelujah, because I know the words I speak to you is quite devastating. It's quite devastating, but nevertheless, Yahweh wants us to know his word. For instance, I'm sure you how consistent this is. Go to 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, and let's see when your king, David, was celebrating before the Almighty. Let's see what was said in the 8th verse. This is what it says. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of Yahweh, and in the audience of our Elohim, keep and seek for all the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim. Then it says that you may possess this land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know that thou, Yahweh, Elohim of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For Yahweh searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Oh, my goodness. We're going to open the phone lines up. We got a caller, area code 513, Shalom, Shalom. You're on the air.
Shalom, Shalom, Moray El Kanai. How are you?
Hey, Shalom, my beloved brother. How you doing?
Brother, doing excellent. I tell you, this program is pertinent. It's so powerful that you can see a film or a piece of art. And on one side is J.C., beardless. He can be Gentile-looking, or he can look black-skinned like a nigger. And then on the other side is Moses, you know, bearded, manly, talking to the Most High as his legacy is. And that example is so glaring. I'm wondering why people don't blow up your phone line to praise Yah and thank you for his words that are showing people the truth. So I just wanted to confirm, I'm not going to be long-winded or let somebody else, like I said, that picture is, that's almost like porno on that side where JC is, you know.
I know you said I'm supposed to come here, I'm the logo, but, you know, if you can let the cup pass, I'm liking this life thing. It's ridiculous. So, brother, carry on. Hallelujah to the mighty Yah and to your queen and the family down there. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Hello.
Shalom, shalom. You on the air?
Shalom, shalom, More, Elkanah, this is Brother Glenn.
Well, praise the mighty Yahweh. Praise Yah. Hallelujah.
Yah. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Wonderful.
Well, praise the mighty Yahweh, brother. You sound great.
Thank you, More. I just wanted to call in and thank each and every one of my elders, my sister, Yanis, my brothers. I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for y'all love and support.
Well, hallelujah, brother. This is Brother Glenn. Well, praise Yahweh, brother. We glad you are on the line, and we thank the Almighty that he blessed you through your operation, brother.
Well, thank you, too, and, you know, all praise and honor belongs to the mighty Yahweh.
So well, hallelujah. Praise ye Yahweh. And I love you, brother. You sound good. You're sounding great.
Love you too, More.
And believe you me, I'm going to let everybody know in the congregation your kind words, because we all been praying for you, that the Almighty will continue to bless and keep you and your wife and recover you from your accident.
Thank you. And you, your program is wonderful. It's sharp. And, you know, like Brother Elder said earlier, it's sharp. You know, I'm surprised everyone ain't got cut just from just hearing it. So, you know, I praise the mighty Yah for you exploding off like you did and bringing it so excellent. So I just want to thank you.
Well, praise the mighty Yahweh, brother. I love you. Holy One of Israel, bless and keep you, and may you get healed better and better every day.
Praise the mighty Yah. Thank you.
Praise the mighty Yah. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Well, we praise the true and living creator for that caller. We hate we couldn't hear area code 919, but nevertheless, we want you to know our time looks like it's just about to run completely out. But in the meantime, we want you to know that Yahweh loves you, and so do we at the House of Israel of Atlanta. May the Holy One of Israel bless and keep you. Shalom, shalom.